Hello, sex fans, and welcome back. Today is Monday, December 1st, 2008, and you have the good fortune to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. That would be me.
But right now, you're going to pick your little ass up, you're going to drop it in the back seat, and you're going to cut out the crap, you understand?
I sure do, Mama. I understand. Perfect. Anyhow, we return to our usual question and answer format this week, but I hope you guys had an opportunity to listen to the swell interview I did, in two parts, mind you, with that brilliant homoerotic artist, Michael Briette. They are podcasts 88 and 89. Look for them in the podcast archive in the sidebar of drdicksexadvice.com. Today's program is once again brought to you by Ropex. Hey guys, I want to talk to you a little bit about jizz production. For all of you out there who are worried that you're not making as much baby batter as you'd like, or maybe you shoot a lot, but it looks all anemic and watery. Well, I have just the thing for you. The good folks at New Generation Labs brings us Ropex, the original Swedish ropes formula. Ropex is the natural way to increase semen volume, so that when you bust a nut, you'll have some nice ropey spunk spewing out your willy. Don't be misled by the outrageous claims of all those other bogus male enhancement products out there. Ropex is not a cure-all, mind you, nor does it claim to be, but it sure enough does what it says it will. Check out my product reviews page at the top of drdicksexadvice.com. Scroll down till you find review 21, and there you will see that I used Ropex myself. And, like all my reviews, I give you my unvarnished opinion. So if you're looking for a little help in the spooge production department, visit the Ropex website today. Look for their swell banner in the sidebar of my site.
So how about it, honey? Just for a little while.
Oh, okay, since you're so pretty and all. Hey, on with the show.
Hi, my name is Joe. I'm 45, and I wanted to know if you can give somebody hepatitis B by oral sex, giving or receiving.
Okay, before I answer your direct question, I should probably give our audience some background. Hepatitis B is one of the three common viral infections of the liver. Hepatitis A and hepatitis C are the others. It can lead to cirrhosis, scarring of the liver, liver cancer, and even death. It's estimated that hepatitis B infects between 140,000 to 320,000 Americans each year, and 1.25 million have chronic hepatitis infections. You know, before HIV, hepatitis was the most dangerous sexually transmitted infection people could face. The good news is there is a vaccine available now. In fact, there are vaccines for both hepatitis A and B. All sexually active people with multiple partners should be inoculated with both vaccines. The reason being, the hepatitis B vaccine won't protect you from hepatitis A, nor will the hepatitis A vaccine protect you from hepatitis B. Get it? Got it? Good. Now, to your question, Joe, the hepatitis B virus is carried in an affected individual's blood, semen, and other body fluids. A person is contagious before he or she even knows that he or she is sick, and for some time after he or she feels better. People with chronic hepatitis are always infectious. Men who have sex with men are at higher risk for hepatitis B than those who don't. You can get Hep B from an infected person through unprotected anal or vaginal intercourse, shared needles, including tattoo needles, toothbrushes, razors, and sex toys. All it takes is a microscopic amount of infected blood. Interestingly enough, oral sex with an infected partner carries a lower risk for hepatitis B infection. However, like with HIV, If you have an unhealthy mouth, problem teeth, gum disease, or any kind of laceration in your mouth, your risk increases exponentially. The same is true if you allow someone to come in your mouth or if you swallow. Good luck! Next, we hear from Donna. She's 18 and she writes from Salt Lake City. I'm turning to you for help because I don't have anyone else to ask. My boyfriend, who is now 19, and I are very much in love. We plan to marry next year, but we both want to start having sex now. We are both virgins, and we think we need help overcoming the natural obstacles, if you know what I mean. Well, gee, I'm not really quite sure I know what you mean by natural obstacles. Are you talking about physical things, emotional things? Maybe you just need a little tutorial on how to get started. I'll try to at least touch upon all these things, but first, I want to thank you for entrusting me with your concerns. I'm sorry to hear that you don't have others in your community to approach. I guess that says a lot about the family values and community standards of where you live. I have lots to say about beginning a sexual life with another person. Curiously enough, the information I'm about to share is applicable to both women and men, and it applies equally to any or all sexual orientations. That's the beautiful part about human sexuality. There is so much common ground. In fact, there is always way more that we have in common than what separates us. Okay, here goes. Be yourselves. Let your natural feelings of affection for one another lead you. Always use a condom. This applies to penis, vagina, and or anal sex. Be gentle. Be curious. Seek your partner's pleasure before your own. And most importantly, have a sense of humor about the whole damn thing. Just about everyone who is sexually inexperienced will also lack sexual confidence. It can be nerve-wracking not being sure of what to do to satisfy your partner. Sometimes this nervousness is contagious. Your anxiety can actually make your partner anxious. The surefire way to get around all of this is not to pretend to know what the fuck you're doing if you don't. The best way to find out what to do is to ask your partner what he, she likes and how she, he likes it. If they don't know or they can't tell you, then you can find out together with some light sex play. This is where our natural sexual curiosity comes in, and we all have that to one degree or another. Sexual confidence comes from knowing. Curiosity will bring that knowledge. There will be no room for curiosity if the only thing on your mind is the old in and out. That's why I suggest you put off full-on fucking until you get the lay of the land, so to speak. Besides, there are lots and lots of ways to pleasure yourself and your partner that don't involve intercourse. Like I said, sexual confidence comes with understanding the mysteries of our sexual response cycle. Each one of us is different, and the differences are most pronounced between the sexes. If you haven't discovered at least the fundamentals of your own sexual response cycle through masturbation, then you're really not ready to gift yourself to another person just yet. You see, the more you know about your body and how it works, and where your pleasure centers are, and the kind of stimulation that you need and want to come to full arousal, the more information you will have to pass on to your partner. Even if your partner is more experienced than you, he or she will still need to get to know the intricacies of your individual response cycle. Sexual confidence stems from being able to please your partner. When you know what you're doing, you project an air of self-assurance. This is not the same thing as cockiness, mind you, although that might be a fun attribute to have, too. The best lovers look to the pleasure of their partners before they expect to be pleasured. Delaying your own pleasure, particularly if you're a guy, so that you can provide multiple orgasms to your female partner, will reap great pleasures afterwards. Besides, giving pleasure is often as pleasurable as being pleasured. Sexual confidence translates into sexual assertiveness. Each partner should take equal responsibility for initiating sex. Trust me, this is not merely a man's role. And sexual assertiveness translates into sexual creativity. If you're timid about trying new things, you're going to short-circuit a whole lot of pleasure. Learn to ask for what you want and how you want it. Communication is key to a healthy and vibrant sex life. Never underestimate your partner's ability to develop and grow sexually. Check in with your partner on a regular basis. Don't assume you know what turns him or her on today just because it turned her or his crank the other day. Feelings of sexual inadequacy, discomfort with your body, anxiety about your skills will destroy your sex life. If you are plagued with any of these things, get help with them before you bring them to a sexual partnership. Sexual confidence comes down to knowing yourself and being able to communicate your likes and wants to your partner. If you're simply going to be passive about your pleasure, you'll wind up getting only what is dished out to you. And for many women, that is woefully insufficient. Don't expect your partner to know any more about pleasuring you than you do, even if she or he has had more partners than you. Allow yourselves the time or space you need to feed your intimacy needs. If you expect to discover sexuality with your partner in the backseat of a car, you're going to come up short. Passion and spontaneity is great, but what I'm talking about is different from that. Think of it as learning to walk before you run. Being a terrific lover is dependent on know-how. Skill comes through practice. So, practice, practice, practice. Keep it fun, and when it stops being play and starts being work, put it aside for another day. Good luck. Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail hotline telephone number you keep talking about? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Don't be shy. Let it fly. Next, we hear from Greg, who's 40. He writes from Seattle. Yay! Since getting sober now, almost 8 years ago, I am very tense about sex. I've lost my mojo. I am unable to relax and to be intimate with a man, and I'm thinking I need an intimacy coach or a sex coach or something. Perhaps someone with tantric training who can help me find a comfort level with my body and being touched and touching another. Hey, thanks for your interesting question, Greg. Sadly, yours is not an uncommon concern. In fact, I just finished an 8-week group for men in recovery who were dealing with similar intimacy issues. A lot of the work we did together was helping one another reestablish a sense of trust. Substance abuse can rob us of a whole lot more than just our dignity. It often affects our sexual response cycles in ways that diminish our ability to enjoy our sexuality. This, as you suggest, impacts on our comfort level in all intimate situations. Learning to trust others enough to open ourselves even with our brokenness is the key to regaining our sense of sexual self. We need to learn how to overcome our shame, which often gets in the way of reaching out to others. I think you've hit upon a perfect solution for your pressing problem. Working with a sex coach or intimacy coach is definitely one way to go. For those challenged as you are, verbal therapy is great, but there is no substitute for actual hands-on therapy. I know several people who have been helped by a surrogate partner or a sexual healer. I applaud you for thinking so creatively. Of course, finding the right person to work with will be a challenge. As you know, there are loads of sex workers out there. Unfortunately, very few have the training one needs to provide sexual surrogacy or understand the delicate issues that a trained sexual healer might deal with. I sure hope you find what you're looking for. Keep me posted. And if you need someone to discuss this with further, give me a shout. Good luck.
Let old Trixie sit up front with her big tits.
Absolutely, Trixie. You sit wherever you want. Next, we hear from Naf, who's 24 and he writes from the Middle East. Hi, Dr. Dick. I'm a 24-year-old fat and short gay guy. I have had sex as a bottom, but I would also like to be a top. But the problem is, every time I have an ass in front of me and after enjoying rimming it, my dick doesn't get hard, and thus my sexual partner thinks that he is not my type, etc., etc. Could you help me to know what's going wrong? Thanks. Are you expecting your dick to magically get hard? I wonder, is your potential partner pleasuring you to full arousal so that you have the boner you need to bone him? Or is he one of those lazy bottoms who just lays there waiting for the ass-alt to begin? Sometimes bottoms, particularly guys who bottom by default, have body image issues, just like you. They often feel inadequate for the role of a top. And even though they desire to pound some ass, they go limp at the first opportunity to do so. I suspect that your difficulties reside in how you perceive yourself. You know, there's a whole lot more involved in topping than simply having a stiff enough dick to plug a hole. Topping has lots to do with sexual confidence. If you lack sexual confidence or are not particularly sexually assertive, you'll disappoint yourself and your partner as a top. This disappointment will only deepen your self-doubt, and what may start out as a simple little performance anxiety issue will sure enough become a full-blown sexual dysfunction in absolutely no time. How do you or anyone like you get over this? Good question. I suggest working with a single partner that will help you build the sexual confidence you need to assume the role of a top. This partner will have to be totally involved in pleasuring you to full arousal, as well as bolstering your sexual confidence and assertiveness. It may be difficult to find this kind of selfless partner, but that's what you're going to need. One final thing, always use a cock ring. This trusty, low-tech device will help boost your confidence by helping you maintain your hard-on. Good luck. Hey, Dr. Dick, that toll-free podcast voicemail hotline telephone number you keep talking about, what is it? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Write it down, 866-422-5680. Finally today, we hear from somebody who doesn't identify himself by name or where he writes from, but we know that he's a male. We don't know his age either. He writes, I have a small penis, flaccid. My penis is about 3 inches, and I can pull it all the way in my groin, so just the head is showing. Same with my balls. Anyone with a large mouth can suck my penis and balls into their mouth. Erect, I'm a little more than 4.5 inches. If I put a tight cock ring on, I might make 5 inches. While I cannot do much about my penis size, I can stretch my balls so they hang lower. Actually, it's stretching my ball sack. I happened to run across this topic recently. Can this actually be done? What dangers are there in stretching? I do not want to land up in the emergency room. And if it's possible with care, what is the best way to do the stretching? Would appreciate your response. Thanks for the information. Guys have been stretching their balls for just about as long as us men folk have had balls to stretch. And that's a mighty long time, don't you know? The only thing that screams male virility and potency as much as a big dick is a pair of low-hanging nuts. In fact, in many societies throughout history, a man's cojones were considered sacred. They were revered as objects of religious, social, cultural, and even magical powers. In fact, in ancient Rome, when a man would take an oath, he would grab his balls, just like we would put our hand on a Bible today. In fact, that's where we get the word testify, from the Latin word testes. Men discovered early on that ball stretching was both erotic fun and relatively easy to do. Just to clarify, when we say ball stretching, just like you suggest, what we really mean is sack or scrotum stretching. One cannot really increase the size of his balls or testes. Soon, men in many societies were stretching their junk to call attention to their manliness. With the help of a stretching device of one sort or another, and there are several, men were able to lengthen their balls with very little effort. The first method is the simplest, and you don't need no stinking equipment either. Let's call this the manual method. All you do is give your huevos a nice, sustained tug. Alternate your tugging with some nice ball massage, and over time, this will help you lengthen your ball sack because you are manually forcing it downward. The more you pull, and the longer that you pull, the more you will affect the hang of your balls. This method is particularly effective after a hot bath or shower. Your skin will be at its most pliable then. This method is safe and effective, and even a rank amateur can pull it off, so to speak. You're not going to see a whole lot of results immediately, but then you wouldn't want to. I mean, that would be dangerous, right? But your patience will pay off. Listen, even if your objective is not to get lower hanging balls, this is fun and pleasurable all on its own. It might be just the thing to get you to pay more attention to your balls while you're jerking off. And that will make both you and your nuts much happier. Kicking things up a notch, you can invest in a relatively inexpensive ball stretcher. You can find a whole bunch of them in the Dr. Dick's stockroom. You can find a link to this treasure trove of sex toys and fetish gear right there on the top of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the tab that reads My Stockroom. The most common type of stretcher is a leather band. There are also neoprene ones and metal ones, too. Simply put, these buggers just make a space between your testes and your body. The thicker the band, the greater the space, obviously. Some of these stretchers come weighted. Others allow you to add weights to them. This is probably not advised for the novice stretcher, but you'll be surprised at how much fun it can be. Just have your wits about you when you try this. Too much weight for too long a time can cause serious injury. Make sure that you use a lubricant to help reduce chafing during your stretching sessions. Also, if you do use weights, don't move around a lot when they have them attached. That's just common sense. Finally, there's the vacuum pump method. Some guys pump their balls separate from their dick. Others pump their cock and balls together. There are even specifically designed cylinders to facilitate this. For safety's sake, keep your pumping sessions to about 10 minutes or less. You can throw in a nice massage session afterwards and you'll be one happy fellow. Remember, overuse or over-enthusiastic pumping can cause blood vessel damage, bruising, and blistering. If you are in the market for a pump, again, I refer you to the Dr. Dick's stockroom. Look for one with a pressure gauge on it and an easy-to-use release valve. Always keep the pressure between minus 5 and minus 10 mercury inches. Never more than that. Your scrotum is highly elastic, so the lengthening you produce will mostly be temporary, unless you do this on a regular basis. and the effects will diminish over a period of 24 to 48 hours. Good luck.
We're coming, baby doll, and if you don't find me some old gas station soon, this little old snowflake's gonna wet her pantaloons. Oh my, I'm a self-harm.
You be careful now. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. I'm so glad you could join me. Tune in next week for more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Ropex. I know a lot of you guys get it in your head that the amount of cum you produce and the velocity of your money shot are somehow associated with virility. Well, I don't buy that logic necessarily, but who among us doesn't like a nice puddle of dick wad to play with and admire? Ropex can help you boost the volume of your ejaculate and increase your orgasmic contractions. I'm happy to recommend Ropex to anyone who worries about puny spunk production. Again, I invite you to check out my review of Ropex on the product reviews page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for review 21. And here's a tip. The makers of this fine product offer a special. Order two and get one free. They also have a convenient auto-billing, auto-shipping option available, which includes an additional 10% discount. This is the ideal solution for those who want a regular supply of their product sent to them without the bother of going online to reorder. Why, you can't beat that with a stick. Check out the Ropex banner in the sidebar on my site. You'll be glad you did. Hey, and don't forget to look for Dr. Dick's podcast on iTunes. Once in the podcast section, all you have to do is search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. Don't forget to subscribe. Hey, and feel free to leave a comment when you do. Until next week, remember, sex is good. And good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.